Good morning. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious and most holy God, we have gathered here this morning to give you praise, to sing songs of praise, to learn and to grow and to hear from your word, and to be the family, Lord, you've called us to be. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord. Help us to apply what you have for us today in every way and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning again. Welcome to our guests. In front of you are these little cards. You can fill those out for prayer requests or praises, and then they will be gathered up. They will be recorded so that we can put them on our web page to be prayed over, and then they will be laid up here across the kneelers so you can come back up and get one and take it home and pray over it as individuals. So I wanted to make sure we remind us of all of that, prayer requests and praises. Now I have another announcement since I didn't get a chance. There's Bonnie. Didn't get a chance to talk to Bonnie about it, so I'm just going to do it now. Starting in the fall, we are going to do commitment to holiness in small groups, growth groups, if you will. And I am looking for facilitators, which would be hosting it in your home, and leaders, and or leaders. So if you're interested in that, pray about it this week, and we'll have a sign-up sheet so that you can do that, sign up for it, and those who are leading and facilitating, we will have a, let's call it a small group leaders meetings for about 3 weeks to go over what it is to lead a small group and what we're going to look at. So next week, be praying about it this week, and then we're going to talk about it amongst ourselves. Yes, ma'am. I would prefer to have it done in your homes or another home for then, because then you can reach out to your neighbors and say, hey, we're having a small group at our house. Come on over. There's just a bunch of us. Like, we're going to have, hopefully keep it between 6 and 8 people, each small group. So hopefully some of our communities will have to have 2, but we're going to try to keep it in the community and the people who live around that community. Okay, that's what I'm looking at right now. Just to give you, yes, ma'am? Whichever community you're in, we will try to get you close to somebody that's doing one. Okay? So just keep that in mind and keep praying about being a facilitator, hosting it in your home, or leading and or doing both. So I hope that's water up here on the floor. That's all I'm saying. Sorry, I was paying attention to what Tracy was saying, and I wasn't ready to come up here. I didn't have my mic ready or none.
Did you turn it on?
I probably didn't. No. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll take that as a compliment you meant it as. It's nice to have family here, everywhere. The problem with family is they don't hesitate to say what's on their minds. So if you're a guest with us today, just remember they're all family and they're here to lovingly, yeah. We're looking at Matthew. We're working our way through the book of Matthew, and we've been talking about the kingdom overall, and then the subtitles change, and we're working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. And we're in the last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount starting this morning. Now, last week, we looked at being perpetually uneasy, distracted, or anxiously worried. Same thing, right? Over the things of this world. And when we do that, it's sin. Plain and simple. When we're so worried and so focused on what's going on in this world, we lose track of where we're supposed to be. And we can sink into the water, as Steve told us about. We can drown. It's sin.
Instead, we need to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things that we need will be supplied to us. That's what we looked at last week, right? Now, that doesn't mean that you don't work, that you aren't prudent with the things that God gives us, but to make it our complete focus on, or to be perpetually uneasy, to have a bad eye, we'll get to some more of that in a few minutes, to have a bad eye about it is to sin. It's sin for those who are living under the reign and care of Almighty God. Okay? So where we're at from that, summing up all of last week's. Now, before we get into judging others, we need to understand a couple things. Let's suppose, I'm just going to use Jamie for instance. I'm driving on 94 with a couple people in the car, and Jamie's there with me, and I have my little hissy fit over how people drive. And then I'm reminded lovingly, because I've judged those people, that it was, you know, we always say it back. When somebody says something to us about something, judge not, lest you be judged. Right? Don't we say that? But in judging me for my attitude, isn't that judging as well? I mean, isn't that throwing it at me if I accuse her of that? It's one of those, I have it written down here. Your accusation, she's telling me, your accusation that I judge is judging. Right? When we do that, our accusation that someone is judging us, that's judging, but just all of it together. We're not to judge in that manner. So, there are at least two meanings to the Greek word that we translate as judge, now that I've muddied the waters as much as possible. It could mean to analyze or evaluate or decide, to discern, right? A judge at a dog show or a horse show is looking at the value and the conformity to whatever that breed happens to be, and they're called a judge for a reason. That's discernment. That's judging in the proper way. The other meaning is simply to condemn. The judge and the jury, right? The jury tells the judge, and it goes back and forth, and the judge condemns that person to whatever it happens to be. Jesus is about to tell us that's not what we're to do. Let me read to you from chapter 7, and we're going to look through verses 1 through 6 of Matthew. Do not judge, do not condemn, so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, or they will be trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. There's a lot there, and we're going to look through that as much as we can. So, do not condemn, or you will be condemned. That's what he's telling us. That's the way it's meant from everything that I've been able to read, okay, and study on. As Jesus told us in 6:14 and 15, for if you forgive other people for their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people, then your Father will not forgive your offenses. The Sermon on the Mount is not individual things. It's all connected. It flows together. And we're going to look at some of that today. In not forgiving, you're doing what? Condemning. In not forgiving, we're condemning. I didn't like that. I will be honest. I didn't like the way that sounded to me. I, What do you mean I'm condemning somebody by not forgiving them? We'll get into that as we go along here. We're not to condemn. So the way to avoid condemning others, judging, you have to think the best of that other person. Okay. I have to think the best of others. That means that I have to have the good, healthy, generous eye that we looked at in 622. Because if you go back and you look under that and you find, if you have footnotes in your Bible, it will say generous or not stingy or something along those lines. To have a good eye, right? Lamp, the eye, it's good. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, healthy, good, depending on your translations, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light that is in you is darkness, how great the darkness. It's connected to what we're going to look at today. And I want us to focus on that because it's all of this is so important to understand. It's not individual things. It's all together. He's still talking about the eye, and we're going to go into that. The good eye is the one that focuses on the positive or assumes the positive intent, that focuses on strengths, that sees the good possibilities and grants the benefit of the doubt. How many of us want to give the benefit of the doubt? Now, why should we? Why should we give the benefit of the doubt? Number one, you never know all the facts or the whole of the person's circumstances or situation. Our task is not to condemn and judge on superficial unloveliness. Has anybody here ever been unlovely? As long as I'm not behind the wheel of a car, I'm pretty good. But I still have those moments. I know it's a running joke on 94, but it works. Thank you. As Christians, we are to love and accept, to be gentle and courteous. Blessed are. Go back and read those again, right? The Holy Spirit in Titus 2 tells us to slander no one, not to be contentious. Not to be contentious, that bears repeating, to be gentle, showing every consideration for all people, giving them the benefit of the doubt, right? For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. B.C. Before Christ. That's what he's talking about. We were once that way. We are that way no longer. Or let me repeat that. We're to be that way no longer. As Christians. It is very hard for us. The second thing we need to look at. Is that it is very hard for us. To be impartial in our judgment of others. We can be biased. Because of past circumstances that have to be set aside. That's hard. And we can have logs in our eyes that need to be removed before we can judge. That doesn't mean that we can't be discerning, that we can't know a tree by its fruit. That's judging, okay? You make judgment calls every day. When we say, you're not to judge, or you'll be judged. We're not to condemn. But we make judgment calls all day long. On which way we're going to go to certain stores. Are we going to take the highway? Are we going to take the back roads? Am I going to travel East Michigan? Or am I going to go down 94? We make judgment calls. We suffer the consequences thereof. But we're discerning That's what we're supposed to do, is discern. So when we look at things, we need to be discerning. Okay? In John 8:7, Jesus said, "Let him who is without sin among you cast the first stone." So we have to be careful about how we judge, right? Make sure there's no log in our own eyes. And then in John 7:24, "Do not judge, discern," that's the word that's being used here, translation, "the outward appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." If we judge with the righteousness we have received from God, we have nothing to worry about. Not our own righteousness, not self-righteousness. Because in my self-righteous attitudes, I'm right, you're wrong. Right? Nobody's ever done this. But when you're driving on 94 or wherever, we just talked about this morning, who's right in what's going on? Not, I know that you've never done that, because it's you that might have had, you know, I might have been a little too fast, or I might have not used my turn signals, or whatever. It's them, because they're wrong. Are they? Is that judging? Because it's condemning. Yeah. Thankfully, I am getting better. Work in progress. Uh-huh. Now.
Don't worry, that Ohio Highway Patrolman is waiting for you.
They are. Jesus spoke about the eye in 6:22 and 23, which I read to you. And we are still in the same sermon. And the good eye is the one that is generous and sees that's good in God's creation, puts their trust and faith in Him. These are the ones who see the good in all things. We need to practice this, right? The bad eye only sees the negative, only sees the shortcomings, only sees the bad things in all of creation. You and I could be driving down the same road and see the same thing and have a different attitude about it, a positive or a negative attitude. We are to give the benefit of the doubt, and if we know God in any way, we know that He's going to take care of us, and we need to look for the good. What you look for, you're going to find. We talked about that. What you look for, you're going to find. So, if you see the speck in someone else's eye, make good and sure that there is not a log in your own eye. Let's say you notice a sister's attitude or a brother's shortcomings while knowing full well that you fall short in some other area. I'm going to use what you said this morning. Jamie struggles with sticking to her fast. That's condemning. Maybe I'm struggling too, but I'm not doing the fast that she's doing. I strolled by the donuts the other day at Meijer's, and I'm looking at them going, "Yeah, you figured you'd have the one I like there." I didn't get it. I've been good so far. They're so far. So far, no donuts, no cookies, though I reached up in the cabinet when I walked in there, because I didn't realize how often I get into the cookies in the pantry. Just open the seal, because Mindy won't know that if there's one missing or three or by the time I'm done. And then Mom did it. Mom was into the cookies. We cannot be hypocritical and self-righteous. Hypocritical and self-righteous. None of us are morally superior to another. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Maybe you're doing good right now, but you weren't in the past. So why am I judging somebody that I haven't walked a mile in their shoes, to use a saying that we use all the time? Why? Except for the grace of God, there go I. Amen. So, if your brother or sister has a small speck in their good eye, remember we're talking about the good eye and the bad eye, make sure you don't have a log in yours making it bad. If we speak of our brother having a speck in his eye, aren't we pointing out a flaw? It's one thing to help someone. I always like the analogy of I'm climbing a mountain, and there's different areas. There's like shelves. Is that the best way I can put it? And I'm reaching down and helping somebody up out of the muck. I'm not saying you're all covered with guck and you need to come up here. I'm reaching back because I've been there, and I'm going to help them up to where I'm at. And then I'm going to reach up and say, help me, to whoever's up there. And if it's God, which it usually is, and people being used by God, then I can get pulled up. Do I have to wipe the muck and the grime off of me? Was I in a rut? Yeah. But I'm being forgiving. I'm not condemning. Because the moment I look back and say, you did it, it's your own fault. Get out of there yourself. That's condemning. That's unkind. That's not being the Christian we're called to be. A harsh, graceless condemnation of a critical spirit is not to be seen among brothers and sisters in the kingdom. Believers should be known for their humility and kindness, recognizing their own shortcomings and having a spirit of helpfulness in trying to support and guide others into a deeper relationship with Christ and His church. We want to be known as a church that is helpful and kind and loving and accepting. God accepted each one of us right where we were at. Right where I was at. I don't know why. He had no reason to. And yet He loved me. And He loves you enough not to leave you there. Wanting you to take your next movement forward and follow Him. You have no right or ability to pronounce final judgment on another. You cannot write someone off for the appearance of sin in attitude or otherwise. God is the final judge. What Jesus is telling us here is to make sure your eye is good by dealing with your own sin first, right? Get the log out of your own eye before you help them with the speck. That's easy. That's easy to say. We talked about this morning in the discipleship class on John, and we are in chapter 4. I am amazed. Well, hey, listen, it took us almost 2-3 weeks to get through 2 verses. So when we went through what we went through to get into chapter 4, it's awesome. But we didn't have the conversation because it was more of a review. But it was good. Come and join us. Come and join us. Okay, sorry. Side notes. Chasing squirrels. Now, we have to make sure that there's nothing in ours. And we talked about this morning was, I'm going to use me. When I humble myself at night and get on my knees and pray, I examine my life, what I've gone through that day. Was I harsh and short with anybody? As long as I wasn't on 94, I'm pretty good most days, okay? But there are those days that we lose our temper, that our attitude was bad, that I didn't get supper or lunch and I got a little snarky. And I have to ask forgiveness and forgiveness horizontally and vertically. Yeah, I got that right. Horizontally and vertically. And God forgives. And I get a clean slate. And tomorrow, God's mercies are new every morning. So I get to start all over again. So do you. We need to examine ourselves. We need to examine our day. Did I mess up? I don't want to be judged harshly. I want to be judged because I gave it to him and said I messed up. And I'm going to go to whoever I was harsh with, hopefully, and apologize. Okay. Now, Jesus is not forbidding all judgment. He is forbidding superficial judgment and condemnation while commanding spiritual discernment. He does command us to judge righteously. Remember John 7:24, that tells us to judge with righteous judgment. And that judgment is what aligns with God's character, that reflects God's mercy, truth, and holiness. That's the kind of judgment we're to have. One that is based on truth, not superficial appearance. And we don't know what... I know why they did that. How many of you ever have heard that or ever said it? Don't put your hands up. It's rhetorical. We've all done it in one way or another. I don't know what motivates anybody. I can't tell you. I may think I know, but I don't know what they've been through. I don't know why somebody didn't say hello to me in the morning when they came in. I could have took offense. I chose not to. I don't know whether they fought with their husband or their wife the whole way here. Not that that ever happens. I don't know whether their kids were hard to get going in the morning. Let's give a little bit of grace here, right? Give the benefit of the doubt. The Pharisees judged Jesus for healing on the Sabbath, right? We've read about that. Different places. He healed on the Sabbath, and they judged him for it. Was he wrong? According to the law, yeah. According to the law, what Jesus did in healing them, according to their interpretation of the law, it was wrong. But that is surface level rule following, and that's not what God looks at. He looks at the heart. He looks at what motivates us to do what we do. And it was love and compassion that motivated Jesus to heal on the Sabbath. Stretch out your hand. Remember that one? What about the guy that was at the pool? That was on the Sabbath day too. He healed him. Pick up your mat. Go your way. I'm paraphrasing again. Just, you know. We'll get away with it right now. In all that Jesus did, his eye was good. Right? We're talking about the good. He saw the good in all things. Now, we already talked about this, but what is the opposite of judging? Because I want us to really understand this. What is the opposite of judging? If I'm not forgiving, I'm condemning, judging. So the opposite of judgment would be forgiveness. Oh, it gets a little bit hard here. How do you judge others? Is it with the eye of generosity or with a bad eye that only sees the problems? That brings worry. Do you know why we worry? Because we're afraid they aren't to get their, here's an old phrase, their comeuppance. Right? We're afraid, I'm not going to forgive so-and-so because it's not fair to me that they're not getting what they deserve. So I'm going to hold on to that. Well, that's not what we're told to do. He wants us to forgive. We're not supposed to condemn. We're supposed to have a good eye. Because having a bad eye brings worry and unforgiveness. We're worried about them not receiving their due. And if I forgive, They will get away with what was done scot-free without consequences. They just think it's going to be okay. Not for our place to try to figure it out. We have to forgive. We are commanded not to judge, but to forgive, no matter what. To let go and move forward. Not forgiving is disobedience against the will and word of God. Period. I don't like that, but that's what it is. And this is where it is good to remember that the way I judge will be the way I am going to be judged. Am I judging with a good eye or a bad eye? Am I unforgiving? Unwilling to let go of some past hurt? I don't want God to do that with me. I don't want God to do that with us or any of you, anybody at home. I want us all to be able to forgive. So I will do my best, speaking for myself, to forgive and to have a good eye in all my ways. That's what we should all strive for. We have to let go of past hurt and anger. You cannot carry that in your heart, or it will have consequences in and for the next life. When this body, which is deteriorating and hurting a lot of times, I'm going to get a new one when I get there. Or, because of what I chose, it's going to be hot. A lot of gnashing of teeth and dark. I don't want to experience that. Because it's real hot there. Real hot. Eternal destruction. That part scares me to death. I'm going to be eternally torn apart. I don't want to experience that. I don't want you to experience that. Let go of it. What's in your heart? That's what we need to find out, right? What's in my heart? The last verse or so seems odd and out of place until we begin to understand what the Israelites would have understood with this, what they would have understood. Pearls were not just what you get from oysters, okay? Not just what we get from oysters. Pearls were often used as figures of speech for the wisdom of God found in the law and the prophets, things that were taught by the rabbis. Now, I did something really hard and went, hey, Google, what does a pearl described mean when we talk about pearls in this parable? Because I wanted to see what the world said. See, she's telling me now. She's giving it now. Pearls were profoundly associated with wisdom, knowledge, and personal growth.
You asked for it.
I know. Okay, Google, that's enough. Symbolizing invaluable insights gained through experience and adversity. Often described as pearls of wisdom. They would talk about stringing pearls, okay? Well, they would get all these little pearls and have them. Pearls of wisdom, understanding, discernment. Ooh. Now, pigs and dogs, like I said, we're going to get into that. It says here that pigs and dogs, these are my notes, I have to go back to them or I'll lose my train of thought. Like pearls, pigs and dogs, like pearls, were metaphors, were figures of speech, but in relation to the Gentiles. Okay, in Mark 7, verses 24 through 30. Now Jesus got up and went from there to the region of Tyre and went and had entered a house. He wanted no one to know about it, and yet he could not escape notice. But after hearing about him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile. A Canaanite. I'm not even going to try what it says here. Different translations. a Canaanite descent. And she repeatedly asked him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he was saying to her, let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. And he said to her, because of this answer, go, the demon has gone out from your daughter. Did she get upset about being called a dog? No, she understood it, right? The children represented the Jews, while the dogs are the Gentiles. And Jews consider Gentiles to be unclean and called them dogs and pigs. The Decapolis, where the 10 cities, their main export, for lack of a better word right now, was grain and pigs. Gentiles ate pigs. Jews did not. They were unclean, right? So they referred to them as pigs. Now, no, again, I want you to make sure you understand she wasn't offended by his words. Instead, she acknowledges it and she understands that that's how they're viewed, okay? And still she keeps pushing and gets what she wants because Jesus obviously loves her and wants to do what's best. So, for us and them to cast the wisdom of God to those who were not under the reign of God, not part of the kingdom of God, not following our moral code, is to invite retaliation. They'll chew you up, right? That's what she said. They'll turn and chew you up. Gentiles do not have our views of right and wrong. Turn on any TV show. You watch it for a little bit and you'll know that they don't have the same views we do. Right? God's word is our guiding light, not theirs. Do we share the gospel still? Yeah. Yes, we do. Just don't expect them to follow what you cast to or unfortunately at them. They didn't sign up to follow Jesus. You did. So we need to share the truth, the word of God, but don't cast the pearls you have out as orders to be followed. Right? Don't throw at them and say, sinner, you need to straighten up. Here's why. They didn't sign up to follow Jesus. We did. They didn't sign up for the things that we take for granted often, that they should follow, that's how we feel. What does that do to our witness? When we throw our pearls at them, and then we can't understand why they get angry or upset. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Still, be discerning. Judge with righteous judgment, discernment, what you should say and when you should say it. And let your light shine. Let it shine. Live out your witness. Let them see the pearls you have in action. But don't condemn them for their lack of understanding. Who is it that you have judged? Who is it that needs your forgiveness? Is it a group of people? Is it a person? Is it a neighbor? A relation? A friend? Is there someone who needs to know the Lord that's out there? See, Jesus is putting this all together. We're in that last part of the Sermon on the Mount. Is there something in your eye that needs to be removed? Is it a speck or a log? If you want to help someone else, get those logs out. Get the stuff that's in your eye out. It's irritating. If you've ever had something get in your eye, it's irritating and can cause all kinds of problems. My uncle worked at J&L Steel in Pittsburgh, and he was having trouble with his eye. The inside of his eyelid was scratched, and they couldn't figure out why, so they sent him to an optometrist. And the doctor said, "Wow, I need you to sit down here, and this is going to hurt. I can't, it just needs to happen." Put him down in front of an electromagnet and pulled a sliver out that long. It was in the white of his eye. We don't always know what's in our eyes. We just know it's irritating. Maybe not so much to us, but definitely to others. So, the altars are open. Praise team's going to come up and sing. We're going to sing this last song. If you have someone you need to pray for, if you have something that you think's in your eye that needs to come out, if you have someone you need to forgive, isn't this the time to do it? There are a lot of prayer cards left up here still. You can come up and take one of those and pray over that as well. I don't want to know. So I invite you to come and pray. So would you stand and we'll go to the Lord together, and then you can come up and pray over any of those things. Holy and righteous God, we thank you for your word and your teaching on how we are to love God and others. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount is about. And you put the Lord's Prayer right in the center of the Sermon on the Mount for a reason. Help us to pray, Lord, as we should. Help us to forgive as we should. And help us, Lord, to judge with righteous judgment. In Jesus' name. I didn't know whether this was on or not, so just to be safe. God is good. He has blessed us with so much. I would invite our guests and all of our family here to stay for a time of fellowship. And that's a good way of putting a lot of talk, right? Fellowship? Stick around so we can get to know you. And we can have conversation and just be the church we're called to be. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we give you praise for another day. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine. We thank you, Lord, that the changing weather foretells or the coming of spring. We thank you, Lord, for the warm days we've had. We pray you'll get us through the cold ones. We love you, Lord. Bless this time of fellowship. Bless the food, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.